May be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to greet everyone that is out there in cyberspace or whatever you want to call that, or somewhere in the realm of the internet. Praise the Lord for this opportunity that we all have by God's grace. You know, when Brother Andrew told me, Brother Ken, you know, would you like to speak on our convention? And I said, how are you going to hold it? He said, you're using Zoom. I was thinking, oh, okay. I was thinking that's about kind of difficult to do. But I thank God that Brother Andrew Peary is a young man with a very energetic drive in him, and he has a good team of brethren to help him. And I know they are all on fire for the Word of God. They desire to gather the people together for the convention, even though we are scattered throughout the different parts of the world. And time zone can be very difficult, but I realize that Brother Andrew Peary, being that day, he is in Zambia, and Zambia should be, well, if you look at the map on Africa, on the west of Africa will be the American continent, and on the east is the Asian continent. So he is situated right in the center, and so he is able to control the or make this program suitable for those on the east as well as those on the west of the African continent. Well, I was also told by him, Brother Graham, please, can you slow down your speech, because he told me that the interpreter for the message, so I just almost forgot about that. So I know accent, you know, different accents are kind of difficult for many people to understand. But I know that some of the African brothers and sisters, we have known me well enough for many years, they have been there, so they would have not much of difficulty understand my accent. After all, Africa is very much close to Asia than America, so our accent should be more or less not much of a difference. Well, I want to thank God for that. The song that we just sung, My Treasure, I remember years ago, my brother who led the song just now loved this song. But of course it's not called My Treasure. The lyrics was actually an American country song and kind of a Christian bit to it, or with a bit of a Christian faith in it. And if my memory serves me right, the title of the song is called God Walk These Hills With Me. And I believe the songwriter might be Porter Wagoner, one of the country singer, gospel singer as well. And because of the nice musical rhythm to it, my brother loved this song. And he often, when we were singing back there many years ago, he loved to sing this song. So I was thinking, oh my, you have to keep on singing this song. The hills of, I believe it's not Dakota, but I believe the hills of Virginia, somewhere up there, has nothing to do with our singing in worship in the church. You know, so I decided to change the lyrics and call it My Treasure and rewrite the whole thing. So now at least we can sing My Treasure, now you can sing My Treasure. And today my subject of the talk this morning, message this afternoon rather, is entitled My Treasure. And if you turn to me to the book of Matthew 6:21, I have several scriptures here, and usually I have tapped it out because sometimes I might put it down, the verse and the books, and yet sometimes I write it wrong, and then I have a problem. So sometimes I just would print out the verse itself. So Matthew 6:21 said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart be also." Treasure. So let us have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and the opportunity, Lord, to be able to come together and gather at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ in different parts of the world, Lord, just to fellowship and to hear your word, Lord, to worship your great name. So, Father, now just bring it to our remembrance, so Father, the things that we have been taught, whether it be here locally, whether it's out there in the Philippines or India or America or Europe, Norway, wherever your saints have gathered over the years and have learned. I pray that, Lord, you just bring it out a little further to our understanding, Father. I commend all this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message, as I said, is My Treasure. So, as Jesus, for where your treasure is, there your heart be also. That's a very simple, straightforward fact. Let's go to Isaiah 33, verse 5. Isaiah 33, verse 5. I'm going to read from the American Standard Version, because sometimes, the words that is in Hebrew or Greek translation is not that easy. A word-for-word translation many times have, well-known rabbi said this, that if you take the Hebrew Bible and you translate it into another language, word-for-word, many times the word that is chosen, though it appears correct, many of its nuances and subtlety, they are lost. And I believe that is very true, because the Bible is a Hebrew book. And the Hebrew has many particular expressions. And many times the truth is lost under the meaning when we translate it from a Hebrew word or the Greek word, because even though it's New Testament is in Greek, it has a Hebrew expression. So to put all that expression into another language, it's not easy. Alright, so let me read it from the American Standard Version. Jehovah is exalted, for he dwelt on high. He hath filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance, strength, that is, of salvation, wisdom, knowledge. The fear of Jehovah is thy treasure. The fear of Jehovah is thy treasure. Now, every time when we read the Bible, the word fear, don't always think about the fear as being afraid. In that sense, fear means reverence. Awe. The awesomeness of God, how he stands before, how you stand before him, looking at him, and you reverence him for what he is. And we know in another place of the Bible, in Proverbs, you don't have to turn to it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the fear of Jehovah is thy treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So with reverence to the Lord, then is where we get to this understanding of His knowledge. And the knowledge of God is treasure. Knowledge of His word is treasure. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6-8. For God who commanded the light, remember the light, to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Look at it here, verse 6. The light to shine out of darkness. Now, we all know this too. We say, okay, the world is in darkness. You are all born sinners, and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine out to us. That is also true. The light. Jesus came into the world. He is the light of the world. But what is the light? It's not just a person walking and without any expression. Jesus Christ came to manifest God. To manifest God, there must be something demonstrated. And that's how we see the light in Christ. When He came to the world, in His time, those living around Him did not recognize Him. And they even crucified Him, the religious men, the religious leaders. But I want to say this, look at the word I emphasize. The light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Christ bring forth, now remember my thought is about the treasure. I haven't got into it yet. My treasure is the Bible. The treasure is the word of God. Alright, so to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God, of course, is the Word of God. It's Logos, the revelation of God. All that God is. His standard, His Word. Everything that pertains to Him. That's God's glory. So the light was given to us. The child of darkness, it lights into us this knowledge of the glory of God. In the face, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, no man come unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. No man come unto God, but through Christ Jesus. So here's the glory of God. Because the Word of God was manifest in Him. The Word of God was made manifest in Him. So He was the glory of God. And in Him is the knowledge of that glory. Now we also know what the Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my pathway. Now I have read these few verses of scripture here, and perhaps some of you here, some of you over there out there says, I have heard that already. I know that, but again, well, let me say this. We can hear it again. We can hear it again. And as Peter said in his epistle, I bring to your remembrance the things you have learned. Many times we need to be reminded of. Some people say, I know this already. I know that already. I don't need to know anymore. I hear that already. How many times I have heard it? Well, that's okay. Hear it one more time. Perhaps you have missed something. You never know. Now, you see, we have this convention, we have different preachers contributing to the Word of God. But before I say something, let me just go to the 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So let us read that passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Well, this is a scripture we all know, right? Now, I don't know how many times you have read the Bible, and how many times you have came across this word. I mean, I came across this word so many hundreds of times. There's nothing wrong with just reading it over and over again and study it and look a little closer. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Bible says. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God, in breath of God. Now this is the only word I want to remind everybody, for those who perhaps never know, but those who are new in the faith. Inspiration. The Bible here, the word inspiration of God is a word that ought to be translated in breath of God. It is the only word in the Bible. Now, I've been told that by some people, you know, Brother Abraham's message are also inspired, and they want to make the message of Brother Abraham equal to the Bible. They said the Bible is the message is the Bible. They are the same. You know? So that is not what the Bible tells us. So all scripture, you know what scripture is? A scripture is something that you found writing, something that is scripted up on paper, or in those days, papyrus. You know, that's what is called scripture. And what we have is this scripture that God has given us. This is the book, or the writings of the prophets of old, and the apostles of the new. And Paul said, these are scriptures that are inspired. They're in breath of God. Well, you know, Brother Abraham's messages, they are inspired of God, of course. God inspired him to preach. I mean, I'm a preacher. My Brother Tim McKay, Brother Strawman, you have Brother Charles Owen up there, and Brother Igado, and Rose Russell. I mean, if a man is called of God as a preacher, as a minister of God, we cannot go to the pulpit without prayer, prayerfully preparing our message, or what God's thought would be, what God would want the people in the fellowship to know, what He wants the saints to learn. If we preachers do not pray and meditate and study the Word of God, then we cannot come up to the pulpit and just rattle off all the garbage that is in our mind. We come up here because God gave a thought for us, for the church, for the people. God inspired us to say something, to bring a message to the people. So we can say, yes, God inspired me to say something for you. And every message that we want to bring it to the Lord, we prayerfully that it will be really the inspiration of God, and that the message or the sermon will benefit you. You're saying. But when it comes to the scripture, it is in breath of God. God put His breath word for word in what He put down in the scripture. This is something that we need to know. 2 Timothy 2:15. Well known verses. I'm reading all that over and over again. Yeah, right then, I heard that. Yeah, I know you heard that. I said that again. Just listen again. No problem. Hear it again. Right. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. And the Bible did not say read to show thyself approved unto God. No. It says study. Now there's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to study. To study, you need to, so to speak, you know, prayerfully doing some research, properly looking at the world, because you see what we have today is that, well, I'm English speaking, I have an English Bible, I don't have Chinese Bible, because I don't read Chinese, so I don't know Chinese. And so, I have an English Bible. And the Filipino out there, the brother and sister out there, you have your Tagalog Bible and a Cebuano. And all that you have are this translation, of version that you have in your home. But when we study, sometimes we, whether we read it in English, or we read it in Tagalog, Cebuano, or the Zambian language, or the Norwegian language, we'll sometimes there is some question. I have many times, even reading my Bible, I have questions. How is this word written like that? Is this correct translation? You know? So the Bible says study, so we need to study. Of course, this was written by Paul to Timothy. And Timothy was a young man whom God called him by a prophecy through the laying of hand of the presbytery and Paul encouraged him. Even though you are called, study. One thing about it, I heard Brother Tim McKay, being that he is the first to speak for this convention, and that's something I learned out of his sermon. That's just why I say is, you know, whatever he's saying of that, well, I cannot say, yeah, I heard it again, Brother Tim, I heard it before. See, but I want to hear it, because there's something that he might say that might be beneficial to me. Now he says something which, of course, I find, we can read, many times we read the Bible, we don't realize that there are certain things, certain place, the word is used, another place, another word is used. And he said this, Brother Tim McKay said this, he said, every truth we receive make us freer and freer. I can say amen to that. Not just that the truth set us free. You see, the truth will set us free indeed, but the truth will make us free. Yes. That's why it's important, you know, to say, oh, I thank God for opening my eyes to make me to see that I'm a sinner. Then I need a Savior. Oh, thank Jesus for saving me. I thank God for setting me free. Thank God for this truth that set me free. And is that all that is to it? Or is there more than just the gospel of Jesus Christ that is given to you for salvation, and there's nothing else? You see, where has the Bible really said this truth? God said to the children of Israel, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They think that they have the law, okay, then that's fine. And they have done the ritual, and they have, you know, observed the festival, the feast, and they think that that is all that is to it. Now, our God is a living God. Now, He's real to, that's why I'm concerned. He's real to me. I hope that it is real to every one of you up there. We're not serving just like many other religious people out there with their own religion. Oh yeah, I worship this God, I worship that God. There is no God but Yahweh. I can say that. Others who can say, there's no God but such and such. There's no God but such and such. Everybody can claim that. But the thing is, how real is it to you? Now, I'm speaking this to, this message is not for the people out there in the world. This message is for you, because we are talking about my treasure. You understand what I'm saying? Now, as Christian, we are all believers now. We all have this Bible. We have received the Word of God. Right? Now, when you receive this Word of God, and you say you love the Word, do you obey this Word of God by obligation? Or do you obey the Word of God because you love it? Think about it. Religious people are, you know, they said they love the Word, they love the Lord of God, and they obey it because they feel obligated to it. I want you to know there's a whole lot of difference. I'm not obligated to the Word of God just because God gave it to me. I love the Word of God. And I obey it because I love it. You know, when there is an obligation, you tend to force yourself to do it. You get what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, just like the parent tell the child to do a certain thing. Oh, they feel that, oh, I'm obligated to it. I'm obligated to it because my parents. My parents said so, so I'm obligated to do it. And, you know, if that's the way they did, the child said that something is wrong. The child said, yes, mommy, daddy, I will do it because I love you. Because I love what you say, because I love what you're teaching me. Things I know to be true. So obey the Word because you love it. Because it's your treasure. My treasure. Do you understand? As I want to know, how real is the Word of God to you? You know, I have about 20 different Bibles in my home. Different version, different translation. The Hebrew, the Greek word study, etc., etc. So, oh, brother, again, how come you got so many, got some 20 Bible or more? Well, you know why? Because, now, I'm, well, how old is an old man? Sometimes I wonder, how old is a man how many years would a man live before you call him an old man? You know, I'm 73 years old now, but I was a Christian when I was around 12 years old. Alright, so I was in the schools, in secondary school, and then I went to work. Now in those days, in the 60s to the 70s, we don't have computers. There's no internet. I think internet came into Singapore, what year was it, 1990 something? 1993, somewhere around there, yeah. So you know, every one of us now have access to the internet. We can download even free Bible software, Bible version. Alright, certain version, of course, you don't get it for free. You have to pay, like the Amplified Bible. You know. So, in those days, in the 60s, 70s, I was working, I mean, schooling and working, and save all the money that I had because I love the Word of God. Because God has already given me, you know, a ministry. He told me that he had something for me to do. I was in the Baptist to the Assemblies of God. And in the Assemblies of God, you know, because God was studying my heart, and decided to fast and pray. And ask God, what you want me to do? What would you have me to do? You see, in my life when I was young, in secondary school, I want a career that I can do with my hands. I would be a technician, something to do with hands. You know, something I research, a technician or something of that sort. You know, but God has His own way. Because after I was fasting and praying and the Lord spoke to me, after about more than a week of fasting in the room all by myself, and I just couldn't, I mean, being a young man at the time, I don't understand a lot of things, so I just put it down on my fly leaf of a Bible. What the Lord told me, I wrote it down. And you know, I just kept it there. And now I began to see how God dealt my life. But at that time in the Assemblies of God, I was just so proud of being in the Assemblies of God. You know, I'm so religious at that time. I thought I had it all. Yeah, the Assemblies of God, we, you know, Pentecostal, we think that we have it all, you know, because I spoke in tongues, I prophesied, I had it all. Until the message came in 1971. And the Bible became a new book. But it was during that time that I saved money to buy the different version, because I want to know how that there are so many different versions with different word translation. That's what made me interested in the Word of God. You know, brother and sister, that's how it is. That's why I love this Word. Not because I'm a Christian that I'm obligated to it. I'm a believer because I love what God has given me. I treasure it. Do you understand? God did not force me to love Him. If there is any parent who forces the children to love Him, say, hey, son, my daughter, every morning you get up in the morning, remember, come to my bed and greet me. Good morning, Papa. What is that? You know. No. If you love your children and you impart knowledge to them and they love you, they will obey the thing that you have taught them. Well, brother and sister, we are in this time that we are in. I want to say this. We're in the in this period called the early rain or the teaching rain. Let us go to the book of James chapter 5 verse 7. Yes, like Brother McKay said, you know, we receive, every truth we receive make us freer and freer. Because, you know, truth makes us to realize more of our relationship with God, our standing with God, more of God. Knowing more of God. That's right. That's what the Bible earlier we read, you know, in the knowledge of Him. So now, James chapter 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. You are the precious fruit of the earth. Huh? Here, of course, the husbandman is, this is prefiguring or typing Jesus Christ. Waited for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's right. There are two rain, the early and the latter rain. Now, I know that in the 20th century there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Pentecost started, they said that is the early rain. No, that's not the early rain. That's not early. The Bible will tell you that. Because the word early rain comes from the Hebrew moreh. Means a teaching. An archer shooting his arrow straight to the target. Now we must come to the place where there must be a teaching. And this is the test we are in now. Alright, let's continue reading another verse. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Let me just read it in the King James, and then I will read in the Morning King James, because there is something that will give you a better understanding from it. Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. Okay, that's the way it's translated. And he shall cause the rain to come down for you, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, I'm going to read the modern King James Version. Be glad now, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Jehovah your God, for he has given you the former rain according to righteousness. Now, in the King James, he says, the former rain moderately, he has given you the former rain moderately. Modern King James says, have given you the former rain according to righteousness. Now, the Lamsas translation, which I one Bible I love, it says this, that the former rain moderately is translated as the food that we eat of righteousness. So he has given you food of righteousness. Oh, so think about it. That's what the early rain means. It's a teaching rain. Something that is given to your knowledge. Something that you can eat. You know. You understand? And that's why we are putting on this righteousness of Christ as you can eat it until what the book of Revelation said, that the wife make yourself ready. And to her is given a fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Alright, let's go to the book of Hosea. I guess I'm going a bit too fast because I hope that the interpreter can catch up. Hosea chapter 6, 1 to 3. Alright, I'm going to, you know, it tells us to return to the Word of God. So I'm going to read the New King James Version and verse 3. Alright, it says here, let us pursue the knowledge of God. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. See, let us pursue the knowledge of God. Chapter 6, verse 3. You see, let us pursue the knowledge of God, of the Lord. Now, is knowledge important? Yes. Paul, in many other places in the scripture, said we move from revelation to revelation, we move from glory to glory. Right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 19. You know, we are here today in this junction of time. It's all because of the end time message that God has given us through the prophet. What did the messenger do when he came? Remember, he was a pointer. And he points. A messenger is always a pointer. He brings a message points. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him, calling us out of darkness, religious darkness, the system. And we came out. You came out of the system to go where? That's the question. But you know, we're having a problem in time message people don't really understand. It's because many people do not want to learn. They think that they already heard a number of messages of Brother Bram. They think that they all know everything already. And that's why there's so much confusion. The messengers called out the virgins. Now remember, they are virgins. Five wise, five foolish, these are just types. Five is the number of grace. So whether you're wise or foolish, you will be part of the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom of Christ. You are called. But the thing is, the wise make herself ready in the marriage. The marriage is not up there in heaven. The marriage is down here on earth. I still remember the time when I was in the States. And Brother Jackson's convention, and after one day we were just, after service was over in the morning, and we were going to have a rest. We were, most of us, going back to the hotel, to the motel. So it happened that I was in my room resting for a little while, and I heard there was some talking outside my door. You know, when I opened the door and I saw several brothers gathered outside, and they were discussing about this marriage of the Lamb. You know, I'm being curious, I just want to know what they were talking about and what's their opinion. And the brother was saying, I believe that the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place when we go up with Jesus Christ up there in heaven. And then I was just listening, of course, being. And then another brother said, no, I don't think so. I believe that the marriage of the Lamb is taking place on earth right now. And then I stood there and I said, brother, you are right. And they were looking at me wondering why I said that. And I let them know that, the Bible is an oriental book. And every presentation in the Bible is in the form of orientalism. That's the culture here. The Bible is not a Western book, it's not a Caucasian book, it's an oriental book. That's why the Bible, Israel is not called Middle West, it's called Middle East. Strangely, huh? And everything that Bible mentioned, we can find there. And that's why I read, after what happened on that day, the Lord inspired me to write the book and preach the message, The Marriage of the Lamb. And He showed me the places in the scripture to prove that the marriage of the Lamb takes place here on earth and go back to the Father's place after the wife makes herself ready. And there are two sets of garments. Now that's the setting in the Bible. You see, that's what it is all about. So we are here now. The message came to call us out. And the wives are getting herself into marriage. And now they are eating and feasting, getting to know the bridegroom, and bridegroom got to know her to make herself ready. And then when time comes, the bridegroom says, yes, you have made yourself ready. You're worthy to be my wife now. Present her a new set of garments. And then whisk her away to the Father's home, where there'll be a grand marriage supper. You see. So that's how important that it is for us to know the scripture. And the more that you know the word of God, the treasure, this is a little treasure thing. And this treasure, the word is in this earthen vessel. Your earthen vessel. If this treasure is in you, how do you treasure it? Alright, Ephesians chapter 1, 16 to 19. Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. I pray that, I said many times, I love this passage of scripture very much. I always read it often, I always wonder, oh my. We need the spirit of wisdom. Huh? Paul said, I cease not to give thanks to you and pray for you that the God, our Father, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. If you don't have it, pray for it. And also the revelation in the knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Him, not in the knowledge of Mary, St. Mary and St. Joseph, and or the knowledge of Paul, in the knowledge of Peter, no, in the knowledge of Him. That's what all this treasure book is all about. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Yeah, I know what He's calling you for. You should know. To have that life eternal. To have this blessing. Huh? And the most important here, the riches of His glory. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And every one of us have this glory of God's inheritance in the saints. The glory which God gave to Jesus Christ, Jesus gave to us, and what is that inheritance in us? The very precious name of our Lord.
That's all. God give to Christ, Christ give it to us. That's all we are, His bride. We are His people. I mean, He need to be ready. And what is the excellent greatness and power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? So now the main question next is, are doctrines important? Some people say, oh, you know, I discuss with Christian people and all this. Why are you talking so much about doctrine? Are doctrines so important? Is the gospel not enough? Well, that's how traditional Christians would say that. But I want to say this. No need to that many times, but I want to remind you. You have heard me say that. All you have to do is to think of Calvary. When you think of Calvary, you understand. Because it is only in Calvary that we have doctrine. Well, if there's no doctrine, if there's no Calvary, you don't know Christ, you don't know the gospel, so what is doctrine to you? Nothing. The Old Testament, the sin you are looking forward to, Calvary. And yet they still do not know a lot of mystery, because why? The doctrine were not, they were not aware of anything. All they have is the law. And the prophetic word concerning the coming Messiah, coming Christ, coming the kingdom of God, and they have to keep this festival and that festival. But when Calvary happens, the question is, who is this man called Christ? What will you do with this man called Jesus? What will you do with this man called Christ? That's the question now, because you are facing Calvary. So once you know the purpose of Calvary and you know it, and you embrace Calvary, you embrace the gospel, then our attitude changes. Then we know they're important, because why? It is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You understand? So that's why the importance of our attitude towards the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, you can read it. You want to turn to it? You know? Paul said not to forget about these principles of doctrine of Christ. If you look at Hebrews chapter 6, there are altogether 6 principles plus 1. Alright, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. I'm going to kind of hurry up a little bit. So you got to interpret that sort of catch up. Alright. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, 1, 2, depending on that word, 2, of faith towards God, 3, of doctrines of baptism, 4, the laying of hand, 5, of resurrection of dead, 6, of eternal judgment. If these 6 principles of the doctrines of Christ, if you have no foundation for this, you don't know this, shame on you. When you have this 6 principle, then you can go on to the 7th, which is perfection. Got it? That's why God sent us the 5-fold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, and so on and so on. And Paul said that. You see, this doctrine is important. Yes, sir. Obviously, I said this. It's 6 plus 1. Right? And that one that's most important is perfection. So if you don't know the principle of doctrine, well, you cannot have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. You know Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16, the 5-fold ministry is given to us? Huh? For what purpose? For the work of the ministry, for the perfection of the saints, for the edifying the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. You see the importance of it? Alright. Then of course then I get people to say, oh, there's no more mysteries. All mysteries are revealed by Brother Branham. So let's just say what the prophet say, okay? Very strangely, huh? All mysteries are revealed. Now I have a lot of confrontation. I don't mind. I don't confront them. They confront me over in Ghana. Going to Nigeria, here in Singapore, over in the Philippines too. And most of the time, those that confronted me are the Americans, the Canadians,
and the Europeans. I'm sorry to say that, you know, but that's a fact. Because I feel that they think they know a lot. And I have had many times when I traveled to Africa, to India, the Philippines, all these third world countries, I told the ministers, don't think that God is not able to raise up from among you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there's a tendency for the third world country to rely so much upon the first world country, like America, like Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. As if God only used, not being racist, only the white man, being the superior race. And of course today we have a man in Nigeria who claimed to be the lead apostles, and saying that now is God's time with the Hamite, the descendant of Ham. So he made himself the lead apostle. Now, God is no respecter of person, because whether you're white or black or brown or yellow or red, God is able to use anyone. Huh? So I want you to know that. So, is there any more? Any new revelation? Yeah, the revelation is always there in the Bible. If you said new revelation, what do you mean by new? Is there, only that you don't see it. Did Barabbas reveal all mystery? Of course not. And that's why it's very hard for many people to accept it. Years ago when I first preached on the mark of Cain, when God showed me that mark of Cain, nobody preached it. And God showed to me what the mark of Cain was. And you know, I have all kinds of words coming at me from among those extremists. But the thing is that, regardless of who the preachers are, who the preacher is, if the revelation is true, there will always be consistency from Genesis to Revelation. There will always be consistency, and you would dovetail into the rest of all the doctrines and the mystery of the Word of God. That's true. You see. So I want you to know that, because Revelation is progressively revealed. You know. Alright, so let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is the word of Paul. 2 Corinthians 3:18. For we all with open face, not hiding it, you know, we're dead to look into it, and standing and examining ourselves, so to speak, entering into the word of God, beholding as in the glass the glory of God. Now when we approach the word of God, don't approach the word of God with tradition in our mind. You understand? You know, I know that Brother Stroman, Brother Tim McKay have been to Africa. You know, and I believe that they know the thing that is going on out there. But if only people, the different churches, the leader out there, if they can humble themselves, you know, maybe like Brother Stroman out there preaching in a part of Africa, or Brother Zambia, or wherever that is, and you know, another preacher come from other churches that does not associate with the host pastor who organized the meeting. If they were to sit down quietly and just to listen, you know, just to listen, even that. What Brother Stroman preached yesterday, I listened to him. When he talked about, you know, the elect thing, and how there are different kind of elect, different group, and that is so true if only people sit and listen. But you know, what he said
It is very true. There are people who say, oh, there is only the elect, we are the bride, only the bride, the bride. They forgot that there are others. But if we approach the Word of God, not with an open face, but with a mouth crowded with our own tradition, with all we approach it with, yes, I know it already, I know everything, I'm going to approach it and try to understand, but you are force feeding the Word of God to your own belief. And this is very common. We shouldn't do that. We should just come to the Lord open face. Yeah, I just stand before God, Lord, strip me naked and examine my life. Even my doctrine, my understanding of the world. Oh, that's the treasure of God. The more that God opens up, the more you see of yourself, the sea on the beautiful, wonderful treasure that God has for you. Remember that. So, Paul said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's right. Move from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. That is true. Huh? Alright. So now we ask a question here is what is the message given for? If every Christian can make the rapture, what is the message given for? When God, the reason, one thing I need to tell you this, when God gives us this message, He's calling out, come out, all my people. Come out what? Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Why? Because if we are virgin, we cannot be there flooding. Flooding. If we are virgin, we cannot be there flooding and fornicating with man-made doctrines. And so we are coming out. We've got to come out. Because that's what the Bible said. Virgin, use the word virgin. But bridesmaids, they are virgins. They are not married. They are supposed to be virgin. You know? We're told not to. We've got to come out. We don't flirt with it. That's what it's all about. Huh? Yeah. Well, someone, you know, in this question answer, those children who are not chosen, hey, I understand how difficult that is. For many people who say, oh, you know, I believe I'm going to rapture. What about my children? Yeah. Let me say this. We should not be sorry for those who are not bright. But one thing we should be sorry. If we who call ourselves bright don't make the rapture. Are you getting me? There are people out there, you know, yeah, they're all Christian. They're all expecting to make the rapture. And then we say, oh, we are the bride, we make the rapture. And we feel sorry for them. Yet we confess we are the bride, and yet we are not behaving like the bride. We are not being clothed like the bride should be clothed. Then we should be sorry for ourselves. That's for sure. Let me answer a question, because there are a lot of questions people ask me, and there's something that I want to let you know here. Brother Stroman talks about all these different groups, that is true. I was asked one time this question, or in a certain discussion. Here is a man who is a Baptist. Here is a man who is Pentecostal. And they are living now, they are in the 20, 30 years old. And they heard this message that God given us. And they said, well, I don't say the importance of that thing, you know. I'm a Pentecostal. The other one said, I'm a Methodist, you know. I love the Lord Jesus. I don't think there's any important to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not important, you know. We just believe what we believe, and I'm thankful for God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make the rapture. And he died. Where was he go up? Will he come up in the rapture? This has been a point many people are confused. There's a Pentecostal honest sincere man. The Baptist honest sincere Methodist. Where would they come up? Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 12 and 15. Let me finish as much as I can. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book were open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now what is he here talking about here? This is the final judgment. This is the great white throne judgment. And every dead comes up. Now I was told by some preacher that here all those that resurrected are all the wicked dead. All the wicked dead. There's no one righteous person standing there. There's something wrong with these Bible verses here. Let us go to the book of Revelation 20, 1 to 6, for an understanding here. Here in chapter 20, verse 1 to 6, here we have Satan being bound. Right? And then in verse 4 it says, I saw a throne, and death sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is that which have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now we know that there are different parts of a different group, where the bride comes out with a foolish virgin that comes out later of the tribulation with the faithful Jews. Alright? This is the first resurrection. So blessed are those of first resurrection, because they go into the millennium and rule with Christ, and Satan was bound for 1,000 years, and after the 1,000 years is over, the city will be let loose. Then after that, there will be wars, and then, you know, between the camp of God and Satan, and then finally, the great white throne judgment. And all those wicked dead will rise up. Who are these people? The Bible here said, blessed are those that part in the first resurrection, where the second death have no power to take. Because everyone that comes up, you know, in the first resurrection, don't see death. There's no way that death can seize them. But in the second death, in the second resurrection, which is the great white throne the resurrection, there is death has the power to take. So that's why in Revelation 20, verse 12 and verse 15, we see that all these dead, those that are stand up, they'll be judged according to their works. But whosoever was whose name was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. That means to say there would be those whose name were found in the book of life. So who are these people? So my question is for you to think a little bit. What is the message given for? In every age there is a message given. In every age God has a group that make the bride. But there are certain people out there in all these ages that don't make the bride. They must come up somewhere. So why do you think they come up? So let us just think about them and just for your thought. Alright, now let me just get to, time is catching up fast. Lots more to share with you. You know, when the Lord come into this ministry, I came into this message in 1971, and for 10 years, you know, God was putting me on a trial, putting me out there, Paul out there 3 years in the desert, while I was out there in the mental hospital for a good number of 10 years in mental hospital, being a mental and a psychiatric nurse, and out there was a terrible field. It's like a desert. It's dry. Spiritual dryness. God put many at the test. But it was 1981 that the Lord, you know, told me to move out from there and get into the mission field. So I went to India, the Philippines, Malaysia, and altogether I've been to about something like 31 nations in the world. And I experienced a lot of things in life. Because, you know, I was prepared as the Lord would take me. You know, when a person is a missionary, he's not just taking a plane and go to a country and land it up in the airport and then have the pastor of that city take him to a 5-star hotel. And then the 5-star hotel, he called for a conference, you know, rent a seminar room hotel and call the minister to come together and have a minister's meeting. And then he fly over to another country in the capital city, and there he goes to another 5-star hotel. Now, that is not a missionary. You know, the missionary, go to the country, go with the people by the bus, travel by bus. If you cannot rent a car or a van, go by bus, go into the province, go into the little towns, travel 1 hour, 2 hours. Where places the food are bad, water are bad, hotel is terrible, not even a hotel. You know. Then you will understand, yeah, brother. Brother Stromer talk about how bad some places in Africa is, yes. You know how bad some of the places in India is? It's really terrible. But you know, God has given me an experience that I can never forget. Because all my life, after I realized what Brother Abraham was talking about, you know, the spoken word ministry. And when God gave him the 5 experiences that he had with the spoken word, remember how did God give him 5-time experience when God told him, speak the word. And all the time I was saying, Lord, I want to experience. And I believe that, you know, those are called to do something important for the Lord. I believe that some kind of experience like this will be given. So where it was, well, I don't know what year that was now. I think when my son was about 13 years old, and he and I was in India. 1989. Now I took them to India, and we have some meetings there. We had the food that the pastor and the wife, you know, eat together from the same table, the same dishes of food at the restaurant. But what happened was that I had diarrhea. The following day, a couple of times, the second day, but my son seemed to be okay until sometime later he started to throw up, and he had not only, diarrhea, but he had vomitus. So from his alimentary canal, or the digestive canal, so to speak, both ends, the mouth and the other end, you know, food were being thrown out. And he couldn't eat. The bed sheets in the lodging house, every morning he got up, there were all this fecal matter, and the bathroom was filled with vomitus because he threw up as he goes to the bathroom. So this happened for 3 days and 3 nights. And we were having a convention, and it was so hard for him and so hard for me because I'm the father. And I could see him, you know, going out, sitting at the back of the room, going out to the toilet, coming back. And then when I have my dinner, he couldn't eat because he would throw up. So, you know, after 3 nights and three nights, and the brother came up to me, and the pastors, and they come around me, and some of the sisters were concerned, said, brother, we should take him to see a specialist. You know, we have given him Western medicine, we've given Ayurvedic, whatever, nothing works. So when they said we should bring him to a specialist, and I said this, I said, Christ is my specialist. He has always been. I'm going to give him one more night tonight. If nothing happened, then we'll bring him to a specialist. Well, we went back to the hotel room. I was so tired, put my head to bed. There was just two single beds. He was next to me. And I was tired. It was 11, I guess it was 11:15 or sometime around that. Now I can't remember. I was so tired, I wanted to sleep, and he was sitting on the bed and he was groaning away. And I said, son, why don't you get a bed and lie down and go to try to sleep? He said, I can't, Dad. If I lie down, I will throw up. So, you know, as tired as I was, I got out of bed, went to his bed, pet him, you know, to sleep, you know. And then by and by, as time passed by, he slept. So I put him down to bed, cover him with the bed sheet, which is, you know, like a blanket. And I looked at my time, was 11:45. So I went to my bed and I put my head down and went off like a light. 15 minutes later, I was woken up by the presence of God, an angel of the Lord sitting, standing at that foot of my bed. The presence was there and I heard this word so clearly. Speak the word. You know, I was so excited. I didn't question anything. And I turned my foot off my bed, stretched out my hand and put on my son's tummy and I said, vomit stop. Daniel stop. In the name of the Lord. You know, because we have convention, I don't get up early. But when I put my head down, as I put my head down, I says, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. I don't have alarm clock, no watch, nothing. I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and see what happened. I just wanted to get so excited. I got up at 6 a.m. exactly. I look at my watch. You know, that was on my hand actually, but they don't have the alarm. I look at 6 a.m. I look at him. He was sleeping on the bed. I put my hand under his butt, on his bottom, and feel whether there is anything wet. None. I went to the bathroom and it was dry. I looked at him lying there. Okay, I'm going to bath again. I was so tired. I said, okay, I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock because I don't normally get up this time. And I got up at 8 o'clock exactly again and I looked at him. He was not on the bed. The bed was clean. I went to the toilet. It was clean. I went to the door and opened it. And as I opened the door, just found where he was. He was a lodging house. A man servant walked past me. I said, did you see my son? Oh, he said, oh, your son. He is sick many, many days. But today, he eat big breakfast. And he's up there on the roof now watching the eagle fly. And I said, Lord, thank you. It's an experience I never forgot. You know, this treasure, man, I just want to close anyway. I don't want to show that. You know, this Bible, it has been a treasure book. Now every time I go, I mean, this Bible has been very well worn. It has been repaired 2 times already, been refurbished 2 times. And that, though I have all these other Bible, I use this. Because it scribbles a lot of notes and it's falling apart. And after I travel, this Bible is always with me in my hand carry. Because I don't want to leave it in my luggage, check-in luggage, in case it gets lost. So I want to say this, brothers and sisters. If this treasure is real to you, God will be very real to you. Had you know what I said this, bless the Lord every morning you get up. Just bless the Lord. You brothers, sisters who are cooking at home, praise the Lord while you're cooking. I know, sometimes cooking can be very hard. You make a mistake that you get upset. You know. God has rewarded me. I can only speak for myself. God rewarded me in many, many ways. The song that He has given me to write. I mean, sometimes they're just so strong. I mean, the one that I wrote was so, that I love the balance is, I belong to you, Lord Jesus. All I have to do is just open my mind, praise the Lord while I was in the shower, and the word just comes out. You know, and as God said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. The reality of our relationship with God. And God is manifest in His own Word. Right? You understand? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld His glory, as John said. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Word that was in Christ was manifest to us. And so, now He was given to us in Scripture. I can see the stars up there, the first Bible in heaven. I have learned about the Bible in stones out there in Egypt. But those are things not so easy to understand. But this is written, inspired, in breath of God. It has life. So whatever you have learned, it's in your heart. Stand it and build it up. Do you understand? And I pray, the Lord bless you richly, brothers and sisters. And may He continue to touch your life. You know that the world condition is the way it is today. With all this pandemic and all that, all the political situation, the problem that is in the world between countries and all that thing that's going on. But surely, brother and sister, we have not long before Christ is going to come. Amen? Amen? Alright. Let us pray, and then we'll have a song as we close. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Time's fast spent, Lord. And we thank you for this time that we have with you, Lord. We are very thankful, Lord, for your love for us. We can never, never thank you enough for what you have done for us, Lord. And I believe everyone wants to make the bride. So let us come to this reality. That we obey your word because we love you, not out of obligation. You didn't force us, Lord. You just want us to come to you and to love you, to worship you, to bless the holy name. So, Father, take the word and bless everybody. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing this song as we close the service. A wonderful time. This song was written in Zambia, I believe. When we were on the road to another place for the meeting. It's a wonderful time to know the Savior. It's a wonderful time to know the Lord. No, Jesus as the Savior, and my Savior, so I reach out unto Jesus, unto Jesus, as my Lord. It's a wonderful day for the Lord to come again. Oh, the wonderful day to see His face. No sorrow and no pain when I see Him in face. So Lord Jesus, come back with me. Come back. Thank you.
I want to see God bless me.
Bless every one of you.